Recording. This little doofer up here is an MP3 recorder, and we have recorded the last 3 years of messages. All the slides and everything are in PDF. You can go find them. You know, you can go to our church website and you can see audio and download them and read them. You can also, and I owe you a graduation certificate. You can also find our discipleship books out there. And Melanie just finished. I will give you that on Sunday, okay? And so there's a lot of neat things out there on the website, plus a link to the YouTube stream that we have going on right now. So take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Last week we went through Isaiah chapter 8. We talked about what is in a name. Folks, we carry the name of Christ. Also, it's good to have Kathy here tonight. And back from her move and she's smiling. That's good. And just continue to pray for her as she settles into Austin. But you know, what's in a name? We're called Christians. We should be Christ-like. God puts signs in our way, all in our vision all day long. We need to follow them. Isaiah is now prophesying in the reign of Ahaz. Ahaz was a wicked king. And time after time, God is putting out signs there that Ahaz is ignoring. There are enough signs here today to know that we're getting near the end. There's enough signs today knowing that Christ is coming back. We should be out and witnessing, because the night is coming when no man can work. So as we go through here real quick and review, in verse 1 of chapter 8, we see the inspiration of Ahaz, of Isaiah. He's supposed to go out and make this great big billboard in front of Ahaz and say, hey, you need to look what God's doing here. All the trouble that's happening around him. Folks, look around all the trouble that's happening in the world today. We need to look up. We need to look up. And then in verse 2, we see that he has some friends. Folks, we don't do ministry by ourselves. We do ministry as part of a team. Our church is a body of Christ. Everybody has a function. And so he has three people here, and their names have specific meaning. Uriah says, Jehovah is my light. And Zechariah is Jehovah remembers, and Jehoiakiah, Jehovah will bless. Folks, if you have people around you with names that mean that Jehovah is my light and Jehovah remembers and God will bless, folks, those are good friends to have. And we talked the other night on Sunday night about how we're a new creature and we should have new friends. We should have a new love. We should have a new desire. We should have a new passion for things. And their testimony was to record all the things that Isaiah was being told to write. And we saw that was their purpose. And they were true to their purpose. Folks, are we true to our purpose? We need to be true to our purpose. And then we see that Isaiah has a second son. And this is the longest word in the Bible. I'm not even going to go try to do it. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But basically, it's the legacy that God gives Isaiah is to basically show what's going on in the kingdom at that time, in the southern kingdom at that time. And Malor shall Hasbazaz. Fine, that's close enough. Okay? It basically means hasten booty or speed the prey. Talking about what's going to happen with the Assyrians. That they're going to come in, they're just going to take over the northern kingdom, they're going to just take everything. And that's the way they operated. So we see the instruction of Isaiah by the child, that the timetable set by the child, before the child can say, Mama and Daddy, this is going to happen. So this is a near-term prophecy, and history records that it did happen, just as Isaiah prophesied that it would. There's a test that was set up. There's a test that was set by the Lord. Whenever there's a trial, there's an opportunity to serve God or turn your back on Him. And the opportunity was that they rejected the waters of Shiloh. We talked about that. That was a string that came out of Gidom and went down to the pool of Siloam. Know that story out of John chapter 9? The blind man was sent there and told to wash, because Siloam means to be sent. Folks, we're sent. If God tells us to go someplace, will you go? You know, Isaiah says, here am I, what? send me. Folks, we need to respond to what the opportunities that God provides to us. And then there is the outcome proclaimed that Judah will be overrun by the Assyrians, that Jerusalem will be surrounded by them, but the city will not fall yet. God's got a different timetable. God has more mercy. There's a good king coming. His name's Josiah. His name's Josiah. And then there is a multiple count indictment of God against Israel, or even the southern kingdom, in verses 9 through the rest of the chapter, verse 22, is events, conspiracies against God. You know, there's a lot of people that plot against God all the time. You know, if we don't do what God tells us, isn't that a conspiracy? The second thing is against conspiracies in the place of God. And then against ignoring His holiness. Folks, the place where God should be most holy is here in the church. The place that God should be most holy is in your life. You're not your own. And you can't have fellowship with devils. Okay? And you can't join yourself with a harlot, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Then, number four, against ignoring His Son. And we're going to see more of that tonight. Against ignoring God's messages. Folks, this is happening today. You know, people say the Bible's not relevant. Oh, yes, it is. It's as accurate today, as irrelevant today, as it was thousands of years ago. And then lastly, against spiritualism, and we see the results of spiritualism, that God's Spirit is not present. Folks, you either serve one or the other. You can't straddle the fence. There's too many people trying to straddle the fence. There are too many people trying to bring the world into the church. God's Spirit not present. God's blessings are withdrawn. God is cursed by them. People who are His chosen people because they have hard hearts. And then God's judgment, they only see trouble with no answers. Doesn't that sound like today? I mean, let's just throw more money at it. That doesn't do anything. Just goes further in debt and it doesn't fix anything, does it? My Bible tells me that the poor you will have with you what? Always. You're not going to fix this. God will. When He comes back. But there's judgment coming. So tonight, as we go into this message, there's a lot of people out there that feel hopeless. The virus and all the things that went along with it makes people feel hopeless. Lost jobs, lost family members, lost lives, lost freedoms. And people don't know where to turn. And folks, people need to turn to God. People need to turn to God. You know, have you ever felt hopelessness? Where there's just no way out. Psalm chapter 46. David felt like that. And we'll read this one real quick in way of introduction. God is our what? Refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will what? Will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. No matter what happens, God is our what? Refuge and our strength. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make what? Glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 6. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. There's a lot of problems going on in the world today, a lot of chaos in the world. God can make peace out of all this chaos if you have a relationship with His Son. The Lord of hosts is with us. Look at this promise. No matter what happens to you, no matter where you go, the Lord of hosts is what? with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Look at what He's done in your life. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. Folks, tonight I want us to take refuge here. I want us to take refuge and be still and know who God is. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. You know, when things aren't going right, go to God's Word. Go to Him in prayer. Claim the promises that He has given us. Tonight, we're going to see prophecies. We're going to see things that we preach at Christmas time, because this is talking about the advent of Christ. We're going to see the light and the darkness that are going to go all the way through Isaiah chapter 9. Here's the point. Christ is the only light for spiritual darkness and hopelessness. He is the only light for spiritual darkness and hopelessness. There's only two major points in this chapter. The first one's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and we'll read that right now. So, it's been pretty dark times. There's a confederacy between the Syrians and the Ephraimites, or the northern kingdom, against the what? The Assyrians. We've seen before that people are trembling. They're like trees shaking in the wind. It is a dark time in Israel. Okay? And so this naturally comes in. Folks, in the darkest time, Christ can shine brighter. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation, when at the first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath what? The light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before Thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. All about physical things, not about spiritual things. For Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and the garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And then, very familiar passages. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Why is this going to happen? Because God wants it to happen. It says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will what? Perform this. Remember Isaiah or Psalm 46? Behold, the Lord of hosts is what? Is with us. See, when you got God on your side, you have no enemies that can conquer you. So what we see here is we see the hope of Israel in the Son of God, but not now. They're still going to go into Babylonian captivity. there's going to be 700 years before Christ comes. And, you know, we want God to do things now. No, God's going to do things on His own timing here. So what do we see here? In verse 1, we see the physical and the political conditions at the time of Christ. So this is a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future. But folks, what's going to happen in the future can be applied to the now, right now. It can be applied to the present. So what do we see? It's dimness. What? Dimness of spirituality. We've got that today, don't we? And people that are what? Vexed. We see people that are in affliction. As in what? As when he first what? Likely afflicted Naphtali and Zebulun, or the northern kingdom. So there's physical and political turmoil now. And remember when Christ came on the scene as a babe? It's the same way. They were under Roman oppression. The second thing in verses 2 and 3, the spiritual conditions at the time of Christ reflect the spiritual conditions in the nation right now. You know, they didn't turn back. God puts them in captivity. He brings them back. They should have been revived. They should have been God's people. They start building the temple, then they stop. They get revived, they finish the temple, and then they stop. And then there's 400 years of just nothing. And they're just overrun and overrun and overrun by things that Daniel had prophesied. What do we have here? It says in verse 2, it says that there's darkness. The people that what? Walked in darkness. Folks, the world is walking in darkness even today. The world was walking in darkness at the time of Christ. The world is walking in darkness. The people of God walking in darkness right now. And in verse 3 it says, they multiplied the nation, but what? Not increased the joy. Instead of getting closer to God, they're getting further away. Instead of looking at spiritual blessings, they just look at physical things, and that's the issue. So they were spiritually bankrupt. They were poor. They were spiritually bankrupt. They needed a deliverer. They needed a deliverer. So we're seeing this issue about what it's going to look like at the time of when Christ comes. You know, when Christ comes on the scene, they've got this book. They've got the Old Testament. They should have known better. Right? There was spiritual and physical oppression at the times of Christ. It says, "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder." Okay, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Remember, the Midianites vexed the nation of Israel when they were out in the wilderness.
Right.
Okay, and people would rather be under the yoke of the world than under the yoke of God. Okay, verse 5: confusion and judgment occur when you don't have Christ. They have broken His yoke. They've said, I want to be oppressed. If it's for every battle of the warrior is with what? Confused noise and garments rolled in blood. You know, when I was in the military, I went to all these war colleges and everything else, and they talk about the fog of war. And war is not a very antiseptic thing. It's a bloody mess. And you can plan for it, but all you can do is react to it. And hope that you plan for the contingencies that would happen. But here's the whole nation here. They're worried. Here's the problem. They're up there wringing their hands of what's going on to the northern border of them, to the 10 northern tribes. They're wringing their hands. The kings are trying to make agreements with other people so they won't get attacked by taking gold out of the temple and paying them off, or buying allegiance, buying something with money instead of with God. And they're not looking at God. They're not looking at God at all. Folks, if you're not looking at God, you will be confused. Okay? If you're not looking at God, judgment is coming. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. And God's chosen people here are double-minded. They say they're God's people, but their lifestyle is nowhere close to that. They say they love God with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. They say they want God's blessing, but they do nothing to glorify God. And so, their spiritual warfare. And folks, you can't win spiritual warfare without Christ. So what do we see here? We see a precursor of the conditions for Christ right now. Let's go at it this way. We see the precursor of all the conditions for Christ's return right now. And I will tell you, based on the authority of God's Word, that Christ's return, His second coming, is a whole bunch closer now than these were. Just look at the world. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. Christ could come back tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Or are we living in darkness too? We should live in the light of His Word. Then in verses 6 and 7, we see the prophecy about Christ. For unto us, what? A child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's the prediction of Christ. His first coming is ignored. John 1 verse 11 says this. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And just because they reject Him, they basically said He hasn't come to us yet. Well, they're going to look on Him whom they pierced. There's Zechariah coming. There's Haggai coming. There's all the prophets, Hosea coming. They're all talking about the same thing. He's coming. He's coming. Folks, our message is the same. He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? His first coming is ignored. They said, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed to the Son of David. And days later, they're yelling, crucify Him. Folks, it's not what you say. It's what's down here. It's what down here that comes. His first coming is ignored. His second coming should be expected. This is for us. Remember, when Christ ascends in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, He says, the angel saying, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you in heaven shall what? Shall show come in like manner as ye have seen Him go to heaven. Don't stand around anymore. Get busy. That was a problem of the Thessalonican church. They're just kind of standing around waiting for Christ to come back. And all, I don't know about the ones that died, if they would see Christ or not. And they weren't doing anything. Folks, this is a perfect time for us to do something. This is a perfect time for us to go out and be a witness. We pray for all these names that are lost. Are we doing anything about that? Are we doing anything about the lost that are around us? Folks, Christ is coming back. The world is in darkness today. Even worse darkness than it was then. And what are we doing about it? So, the prediction of Christ, His first coming is ignored, just like Isaiah is being ignored by Ahaz. Just like all the prophecy being ignored by the northern kingdom, and now they're soon to go into captivity. Second coming is expected. Thirdly, his kingdom. In John chapter 18, verse 36, see, and this is, they constantly thought that when Christ come back the first time, Christ came the first time, and he said he was the Son of God, they expected him to set up a kingdom and overthrow the Romans. Remember what his disciples said. Is now the time that you're going to receive your kingdom? See, when they found out that Christ had a deeper meaning, Christ had a deeper mission, a spiritual mission, instead of a physical thing to make everybody happy, they rejected him. Pilate asked Christ, he says, "Aren't you a king then? Are you a king then?" And basically Jesus' answer said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world..." Now I want you to understand this, folks. Christ's kingdom is not of the world system. You can't further the kingdom of God doing the world's things, using the world's thoughts and plans and conditions and all those things. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. "My kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." It's time for the church of Christ to living as if we're going to heaven. It's time for the people of God to live as if we're expecting him to come. It's time for the people of God to not ignore God and Christ. As we go on, we see, talk about the prediction of Christ, his attributes. His first one is wonderful. This is an issue that we cannot comprehend. It really means this. The sense of it is this. We really can't comprehend how great God is. We can think about it, but in our finite mind, we just can't get there. Let me give you two verses. Judges chapter 13, verse 18 says this. "And the angel Lord said unto him, What askest thou after my name, seeing as what? Secret." In Matthew 11:27, it says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will what? Reveal him." You can't understand the deep things of God unless you know Christ. You can't understand the deep things of God unless you have His Holy Spirit living in you. You can't have the Holy Spirit living in you if you don't know Christ as your Savior. You can't comprehend what the Spirit can do in your life unless you're living for Him, sold out. Isaiah is sold out here. You know, he names his kids all these names. You really name your kid that way? Yeah, because God told him to. And so his name is what? Wonderful. His next one is what? Counselor. In Romans 11, verse 34, it says, "For who hath known the what? Mind of the Lord." We've studied about what makes a great kingdom church to basically be in unity with Christ. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this what? Mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You got to know someone to know them. That's deep, isn't it? You got to know. How many of you come up and say, "Do you know this guy?" And you say, "Yeah." All you do is you know their name. You might know their face, but do you know them? Ah, Paul says this, "But to what? Know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." Folks, do we really know him? If For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Folks, why do people live hopelessly when they have the hope of God in them? He's the God of all hope. He's the God of all joy. He's the God of all life. He's the God of all light. He's the God of all comfort. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of what? Trouble. He counsels us on what to do. He gives us His Holy Spirit, who is another comforter. It says He's also the mighty God. The term for mighty God here is El Gibor. All power is given. Remember what Christ said to His disciples? Jesus came and spoke to them and said, what? All power is given unto me in what? Heaven and in earth. He is the everlasting Father. His name is Abba, or the Father of eternity. That's what everlasting means. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was what? Made. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be what? Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and what? For Him. The last one is the Prince of Peace. Sir Shalohim, okay? Ruler of Peace. He's the ruler of peace. He creates it. He administers it. He controls it. He's the ruler of peace. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Remember what the angel said to the shepherds on the side? On the night that the Son was born, on the night that a child, the Son is given and the child is born, the angels come up and say what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace, goodwill toward men. You know what happens is, for those that are hopeless, in hopelessness, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Folks, if there's not enough hope in here for us, I don't know what to do. You know, we talked about if we walk worthy with God, we won't have a problem with sin. We won't have a problem with direction. We won't have a problem with fear. We won't have that problem if we're walking worthy with God. So now, quickly through the rest of this, because this was the sign. Ahaz said, I'm not going to bother you, God, with these signs. Isaiah 7:14, for a virgin will conceive. And so what's Isaiah being told by God to tell Ahaz? He's coming. Christ is coming. The Lord Himself will provide a sign. You don't believe it? It doesn't mean it's not true. It means you don't believe it. Because everything that God says is true. So, in verses 8 through 21, we see the hopelessness of Israel to save themselves. There's a prophecy given against Israel from the Lord. In verse 8, it says, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob and hath lighted upon Israel. This is Israel. This is Israel's prophecy. This is God speaking directly to them. Folks, God speaking directly to us tonight. It's lighted on us. Do we listen? The second thing is, Why is this coming against? Why is this prophecy coming against Israel? Because of their ignorance. In verses 9 and 10, it says, "And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the what? Pride and stoutness of heart. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with huge stones." It's going to get worse, but it doesn't matter. We'll fix it better. Okay? The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. No, you're not. You can't change trees. You can't make rocks. And people say, you know that? Have you ever said, you know, someone's having a bunch of problems, and you go up and say, hey, you want help? And say, I got this. Know people like that? Hard-headed, stubborn. We can all raise our hand, can't we? Okay? We can all raise our hand. So here's the point. The prophecy of God is coming on Israel, and they say, yeah, that's okay. We got this. No, they don't. No, they don't. Just think what's going to happen in about 65 years. When Nebuchadnezzar lays siege to the city for two whole years and starves them out. What's the instruments of judgment? In verses 11 and 12, it says, "Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together." Who's this prophecy against? Israel. So all this against him is against what? Israel. Okay? "The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away." And here is a really sad statement, or something to be concerned about. "But his hand is stretched out still." When you think God's judgment is over, it's just beginning. This prophecy is lighted on you. Ah, we got this. Okay, here's judgment one. All these armies are going to come on you and destroy it. Here's another one. Okay? We see here, this is the prophecy against Israel. Now we see the problem with Israel. Why is this happening? Because there's no fear of God. And it's all due to pride. In verses 13 through 14, it says, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they what? Seek the Lord of hosts, who David said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." He'll provide you a comforter. He'll provide you a deliverer. He'll provide you all this. That's okay. "Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, and what? One day." In one day. So we see the prophecy against Israel. Now we see the problem in Israel. There's no fear with God. Folks, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that are not living in the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom. We need to respect Him. There's no truth of God. We talked about this Sunday night. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 15 through 16 says that the ancient and honorable. So if you didn't understand verse 14, Isaiah is going to clearly spell it out in verse 15. Okay? So, head and tail. Okay, who's the head? The ancient and the honorable. He is the head. Who's the tail? Okay? And the prophet that what? Teacheth lies. He's the tail. Didn't he say in chapter 1 that your head is full of putrefying souls and you're just a mess all the way through your body? From head to tail, you're a mess. The prophet that's supposed to speak truth is speaking what? Lies. There's no truth of God. For the leaders of this people, the head, caused them to what? Err. What does making an error do? You're going away from the truth. So there's no fear of God. There's no truth of God. For the leaders of the people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are what? Destroyed. And folks, there's going to be a lot of truth come out in the very near future, and a lot of people are going to be destroyed. We know God's truth. We shall be proclaiming it right now. So there's no fear of God. There's no truth of God. And then there's no wisdom of God. Let's just keep on going with all the problems of Israel here. Verse 17. Therefore the Lord shall have what? No joy in their young men, neither shall he have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is a what? Hypocrite. And a evildoer. And every mouth speaketh folly. We know from Proverbs that the contrast of wisdom is what? Folly. There's no wisdom here. Number two. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Second time it's said here. Israel is going to be purified. The first way is going to be purified is by fire. Okay? Verse 18 says, for wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns. Wait a second. Didn't talk about what the land was going to bring? That all this stuff about being captive and being taken, we're going to take them from being a land of farmers to a land of shepherds, and then everything was going to be whatever they plant, they're going to have thorns and briars. This is all going to get burned up. Okay? And shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. There's darkness. In verse 19, through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land what? Darkened. Folks, you turn your back on God, there is no light of God inside of you. You're not walking in it. If we say we love God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 1 John 1, 6. I like how all these messages kind of come together here. Okay? So there's darkness. And the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. Verse 20, the third one is hunger. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall eat on the left hand and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. And watch what happens, if you know history, watch what happens in the starvation of Israel, of Jerusalem. It gets down to that point. And then lastly, when you turn your back on God, there's war. There's war. Verse 21, Manasseh, Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. We know that to be the case. This is just a continuation of a previous prophecy. They're all Israelites. We got 10 kingdoms turning on 10 tribes turning on 2 tribes. They're eating the flesh of their what? Own arm. And here's number 3. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Folks, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And if you think judgment is, you understand God's judgment, it's just as much as we don't understand the word wonderful. We think that God's judgment is this bad, but it's going to be a lot far worse than what we could ever imagine. And that's why he's saying, for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is what? Stretched out still. We just don't even understand that. So here's a choice. Ahaz has a choice. Israel has a choice. Judah and Jerusalem has a choice. They can either obey the prophecy of Isaiah and turn to him. And oh, by the way, there's more prophets coming. Or they can go down the road that they're on, thinking that something's going to get better, that they've got this, and that's not going to happen. Tonight, do you have the peace of God? If you have the peace of God, none of these things will bother you, because you know what's coming. You know who's coming, and you know where you will be. If these things bother you, then you need to get right with God. You need to get saved, or you need to repent and rededicate your life to Him tonight. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask You this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to be at peace with You when we leave this place. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.